Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Drunk women solving crime.
Drunk women.
Drunk women solving crime.
Drunk women.
Now it's time for drunk women solving crime.
This is Drunk Women Solving Crime. My name's Taylor Glenn, and I'm a writer and comedian. I'm joined by screenwriter Hannah George.
Hello.
As well as author and comedian Katie Wilkins.
Hello.
This is where beer meets breaking and entering, Prosecco meets perjury, and vodka meets vandalism. It's a true crime podcast with a twist of lime. Coming up on Drunk Women Solving Crime.
What do you do when someone says something batshit?
Oh, you fucking knobheads.
Welcome to Tory Britain.
Yeah, unfortunately. So maybe the...
Oh, no. Oh, it's great when someone makes me snort.
It's a happy place.
Oh, that's nice.
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Just, you know, I will be sitting legs akimbo for my own comfort. Okay, you're going to keep that in, aren't you? Welcome to Drunk Women Solving Crime. It is a hot summer's day in London. We are very excited to introduce our guest for this episode. It is comedian, straw pedo king, renowned scientist, Chloe Pett.
Yay! Yay! Chloe, welcome!
Thank you so much for having me. It's a real pleasure.
Are all of those things in the intro true?
To 66.6%.
That, you know what? That's what we aim
and
for.
You can choose which ones.
Okay.
Well, I did just torpedo a Smirnoff Ice for the listener at home.
You were a bit of a legend.
It was awesome.
Yeah, it was difficult because we didn't have a like bendy straw. So I'm not sure how much I was straw-pedoing so much as chugging, but
there was a little bit of both. It was really lovely.
Yeah, it was like
when
when we hit flow.
Yeah,
when we got into a flow state. It was wonderful. It was mesmeric.
But you put these MacGyver skills into making it happen, and so to me, that scientist label is staying. I think all you need to do to be a scientist is do one cool thing at a party.
Right? Well, that's for how we've got ourselves into all of this trouble in society. Yeah. But yeah, that'll do. Yeah. That's close enough.
Might be. It might be.
Yeah, I know a lot of drunk scientists.
Chloe, we always kick off the podcast by asking our guest one question. And that question is, have you ever been the victim of a crime?
Yeah, I have actually.
Okay.
This is good. This is, I think, I forgot about this till quite recently.
Oh, all right.
And then I could not. You know, do you ever have a memory where you're like, that can't be right? That cannot be right.
But most of my 20s.
But it was, I was in the school playground and I was playing football with the boys.
What, how old were you?
I can't remember whether I was year 3 or year 4 because okay. I was on the year 3, year 4 playground. So I was
okay.
One. So I must have been year 3 actually because it was an altercation with a slightly older girl.
Okay
all so right. So she must have been year 4.
Mm-hmm.
So you're about 8 years.
We're talking about like 7, 8.
Seven, yeah. Right.
I was just playing football. The parents have to place exactly how old you are. Tell us. Okay. Developmentally, yes, very vulnerable. Very vulnerable. Go on.
Well, yeah, so I was just playing football and I got into this altercation. We must have like kicked the ball over or something. And this girl got really angry and she, I don't know, we were arguing or something. Again, I can't remember the content of the argument. And it would have just passed me by. I would have never thought about it again. And I remember she said something unreasonable and I was like, in my head, you're never going to get what you want from this. Just run away. And I remember as an 8-year-old being like, that is so mature. That is, you've just run off. You know that it's not an argument that's going anywhere. Just run off. I get called over maybe 10 minutes later by the dinner lady.
Uh-oh.
And the dinner lady says, why did you bite this girl?
Oh, wow.
And I said, I did not bite this girl. And she was there with her mate. They were together. And they went, Chloe Pets bit me. And I was like, went into a state of absolute shock and just was protesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it got taken away from the dinner lady and it went to Mrs. Wallace. So it went one
next
higher.
Level up, yeah.
And it went right out of the canteen, right. All the way to the top.
Mrs. Tina Wallace. And
Jesus.
What Mrs. Wallace did was she had all three of us bite her arm.
Oh my God.
And then she compared the bite marks on the girl's arm to our teeth imprints.
Can we get Tina on the podcast? Because she sounds like the best detective.
Oh my God. Because I was going to say it's a joke. That's the only way you could solve this.
No, she and that's how she solved it.
I was having the same thought. I'm like, you got to do some imprints. I didn't realize it was going to be on someone's person.
You didn't have a dentist on hand? Wow. So did this illuminate that the girl had done it to herself?
So what? Well, what happened was,
oh my,
I was like, are you, miss, are you sure? Again, I think I was having all of these thoughts of like, look,
yeah,
I'm 8, like, you can't be biting a teacher.
Yeah, you're setting me up. Consent. You're trying to entrap me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you sign this saying you told me to bite you? Like,
say that again. I've got my dictaphone.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I bit her and she immediately goes, yeah, it's not you. You can go back to class. So obviously she knew that I wasn't the sort of bitey kid.
You. I love that. Okay.
But yeah. I did also have quite like prominent front teeth at that age. I was quite bug bunny-ish. So maybe she could tell.
So she was just like, I'll give the illusion of a fair trial because I know she did.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I know that Chloe would run away at the first hint of any altercation.
Chloe just wants to play football.
Yeah. Exactly. She's very good.
I love, she's a maverick.
This is amazing.
You would never get to do that now.
Yeah, she, do that. Yeah.
God, I want some kids to bite my arm and solve a crime.
Imagine that if Tina Wallace's really specific, like, pervy thing was kid biting arms. She just came into the classroom and she was like, yeah.
That's what came out later. Yeah. I wonder, wait, I know this woman.
She's got a dictaphone recording of me saying it's okay for me to bite her.
She's got a YouTube channel. I'm wondering how far Tina would have gone depending on the injury. Like, had it been a punch to the face, would she have been like, all right, line up. Let's see how hard. No, that never could have produced this bruise. Like, I'm just wondering how she would have offered up her body to get justice.
I
love this person.
I do think getting Tina on.
Oh, do you know what? Tina, if you're out there, if you're listening.
Oh, Tina. Imagine.
What was she like, a headmistress? What does she teach? Oh, should we guess what she teach?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like she's a PE teacher.
No, damn it.
No.
Oh, so she wasn't the head?
No, no.
Oh, I see.
No, it hadn't got as far as the head.
I love the chain of command, like dinner lady.
It's above, it's right. Above the dinner lady's pay grade, but
Tina's
not Tina's.
Got this.
So, like,
it's
deputy? Fine. Not even like deputy no, head?
I think she might have been part of senior management somewhere,
okay.
But she wasn't deputy.
All right.
She might have been like head of year or something.
Sure, sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I have a promotion after that.
Dinner lady missed a trick because I bet she had access to lots of soft white bread and you could have done the same thing. Without breaking the skin. I mean, you probably didn't break the skin on
Tina. Tina was bleeding everywhere.
Did they
I hit a vein.
Did they identify the real culprit?
Good question, yeah.
Actually, I was sent off after that and I wasn't allowed to
resolution.
See the justice. And I don't know, again, I think I remember really clearly thinking, like, I've been set up here. I deserve to see the justice, you know, because
I've been
greatly wronged.
Yeah,
you really were. Oh, those things are so shocking at that age too. You're just freeze with the injustice, like, this can't be happening.
Yeah. I have that now though. Like, if I think, like, I was playing football the other day and the referee gave a handball and I thought it was against me and I like felt this like crushing in my of like. But I didn't. It was on my knee, and yeah, just I think it's that not being worried that you can't like portray the truth.
And
no one's going to believe you.
Being misunderstood is brutal.
Also, it makes you kind of feel like I'm honest like 99% of the time. Otherwise, like, why am I honest all the time if I'm just going to be told I'm a liar?
Yeah,
like, that's really. If I was a liar all the time, I'd be like, oh, you know, easy come, easy go. But you feel more injustice, I think.
Oh, it's
if
true.
You're as honest and pure as I am.
Yes.
What do you think is the best way to play it? If like you know that you're telling the truth, but someone thinks you're a liar, and like how do you think the best way to like. Convey
well not your... the way I do it where I turn bright red, which makes you look really guilty. I just get so emotional, I'm like no, like my voice goes really so I think staying as steady as possible, like really self-assured, the way that like psychopaths do. You have to pretend you are telling the truth, but the way that a psychopath lies, because that's the most truthful looking thing ever.
Right, okay.
Isn't that disturbing? Do you understand what I just said?
I do.
Like,
yes. The truth.
Yeah, people that are so adept at lying, they look more truthful than people that are telling the truth.
I don't know, because also, if you get all red and flustered, is it not clear that that's because you're not used to being accused because you are so shocked?
Katie, like... in a perfect world, yes. In my experience, not at all.
This is one of those things when you're like, okay, so my friend's husband is a policeman and he said let's go with this. But it's something to do with if you've got bring someone in and they're innocent, that they're very helpful to start with. They're very like, of course I'll come in, I'll talk to you, because they've got nothing to hide, and they're like, I was here, I was doing this, I was doing that. And then the more that you start, the more you interview them, the more deeper you get, the people that are innocent start to get really, really annoyed apparently, and that's when they kind of that's what they get. They go from very helpful to very annoyed, because it's that injustice. Because you're like, well, I'll clear my name immediately.
Right.
But then
when
you
don't.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what does a guilty person do? Do they start off
That's a good
annoyed?
Question. Exactly the same, which is why there's a lot of innocent people in jail. Yeah.
I think they keep up the facade longer, though. Like, I'm thinking to just, like, true crime docs that I've watched, which tell you all you need to know, and that's what makes me a scientist. But yeah, they just keep up the facade a lot longer. Like, they're really adamant and they wouldn't let themselves get annoyed because that would feel guilty, wouldn't it?
Oh, maybe.
I mean, I'm just thinking of times when you know that the guy's lying on the...
But then you also get people that are like, you know, like the narcissist type more, where they get so angry that everyone has to back off, and that's how they get... I mean, it might not work with police, but like, you know, that guy that's like more upset than you could ever imagine. Yeah. So you're like, well, I guess he... You know, like, let's back off. Like, if you know, I'm not describing that very well.
No, but it's difficult, isn't it? Because it's like people lie in different ways. Sometimes people lie in a kind of quite, how dare you kind of way. Oh,
yeah, that's
God.
True.
That does look the most suspicious, actually.
Chloe, I'm just going to cut right through this conversation. Chloe, we always ask if you had the perpetrator here now.
Is it Tina or
whoever this shitbag was?
Yeah.
I'm angry on your behalf. What would you say or do to them now?
Bite. Grab your arm and jump down. No, I wouldn't bite. I can't remember who it was. There were two girls. I think it was two girls in the year above, and I knew one of their sisters, which is how I sort of vaguely knew her. And I think I'd just say, you all right? How's things?
Do you think she'd remember? She must remember when she tried to frame.
Is it her formative memory as well? I don't know. I might be like, do you remember that time where...
Maybe not, because the thing that would really stick with you is the arm, is Tina's arm.
Tina's arm, yeah.
Yeah, so
but,
maybe not.
But, and you also have to ask the question, like, if she's sort of that used to lying,
Right.
Is it just one in a long scheme of lies?
And is she still doing that now? Is she still blaming, you know, the colleague for her mess up?
I mean, I mean, in my head, she's in jail. She's just got to be... they've thrown away the key. She's an absolute psycho, this girl.
Well, God, that is such an amazing story. Yeah. I love your opener, too, because I was so excited once you said, do you ever remember something? You're like, this can't be right. That's just always a fun tale. And it's hard to believe that happened, but I 100% know that it did.
It was it was the bit that you can't believe is that the teacher was
absolutely.
Like...
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's the bit where people are going to accuse me of lying about. You never bit.
I'm raising my glass to Tina.
There were some crazy teachers
Tina.
In the old
Cheers.
Movie.
Cheers, Tina. Get in touch.
It was the early 2000s.
Yeah, there was more in place. There was better safeguarding by then.
Yeah, it does feel like it's like a kind of 80s story.
She was playing fast and loose, I think. She's harking back to it.
How old was Tina? Had she been in the job maybe?
Oh, but when you were like, when you're eight, I would probably 100.
Yeah.
Probably 27.
So she was 30.
I reckon with objectivity, probably about 40. 38 or 40.
Okay.
Okay. And you 100%, even at the time, and now with adult retrospect, she knew who the culprit was, and she was just like, how do I make the children
understand,
think that there's some kind of justice
that I've not just chosen?
Yeah.
And also give them a bit of a weird memory to share on a podcast in 10 years' time.
Not even think of bread or apples.
I know that this is one of those stories that, like, when it goes a bit dead at a dinner party, I'll tell. Everyone's always like, what?
Oh, it would revive any social situation.
Yeah.
It's a great story to have in your pocket. It's amazing.
I remember being at a wedding once and somebody tried, like, it was going a bit dead, and their story to bring it back was a story about shitting themselves at an Avril Lavigne concert.
Oh, I think that's wonderful. I think that's absolutely wonderful. I think get them on. No, I think that's lovely. Anytime someone has a big shit, I just think it's great. I really do. Yeah, I think it's wonderful.
It really unites us.
Yeah.
Now it's time for drunk women solving crime.
You guys, are you ready to solve some true crime?
Oh, hell
I can tell you are.
Oh, hell yeah.
So a listener actually sent in this case. Thank you so much, Trisha. It's a nice, juicy case. I can't believe I wrote this. I wrote, much like Rebel Wilson, it's especially famous in Australia.
That was your Australian reference point?
That was my Australian reference point.
I forget she's Australian. Like, that's not a great Australian reference.
It's because I follow her on Instagram and it's all about she's always taking little pictures there and stuff. So there you go. And then I wrote, but slightly less pleasant. It's a good juicy case. We're going to have fun. So this case is a double murder.
Ooh, juicy.
Or is it?
It's like panto season, isn't it?
And we get to decide.
So the case begins on New Year's Day, 1963, when two bodies are discovered in Chatswood, a suburb of Sydney. Your first question, in what location were the bodies found?
Hey, say it one more time. Say the sentence.
Sure. So two bodies are discovered in a suburb of Sydney.
Yeah.
New Year's Day.
Yeah.
1963. In what location were the bodies found?
I'm going fast. Ditch. A classic ditch.
A ditch. Oh,
lovely.
Okay.
Lovely. Right.
A classic ditch.
Are they on a Barbie?
On a Barbie.
Okay. We're really going to get some Australian...
In a kangaroo's little pouch.
We love you guys.
Yeah, we have quite a lot of listeners in Australia. Hi, guys. Hi. Yeah. Thanks for listening.
We don't think in stereotypes. We do think in stereotypes. It's out.
Oh, you're listening to this running with the fucking dingoes, are you?
Sorry. When people try and be kind, I react by trying to alienate. Sorry.
Got to keep the yin and yang.
Yeah.
No, I like it.
I love it. Let's keep that
energy. All right,
energy.
So if I went, like, offensive, would you go calm?
Yeah,
does it work both ways?
Just too far. You can't be using that link. You can't be saying that on the podcast.
So we've got a ditch, we've got a Barbie, and we've got...
I think they're found in their kitchen.
Okay. These are all great responses. Chloe, you were the closest because they were found on the banks of a river in a wood.
Mm. Okay.
Now, this particular location was known for something. Your next question is, what would this location have been known for?
The banks of a river.
Sorry, I'm so impulsive today.
That's skinny right. dipping.
Skinny dipping. I love it. You're straight in. Yes. Okay, skinny dipping.
Mm-hmm. This is what we need this on the force, absolutely. Because we're sometimes like, yeah, interesting. I wonder,
say something offensive about it.
Oh, I reckon it's bloody, what's another thing about Australia? I bet it's bloody the set of neighbours, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's that. Yeah. I think Carl and Susan were there.
Okay. Yeah, and it was Harold.
Skinny dipping, set of neighbours, and...
where the frogs spawn.
Where the frogs spawn.
Yeah.
What do you do when someone says something batshit?
I'm going to give it to you, Katie. It's not right, but it's possibly... Actually, yours is probably closer.
Are we getting scored on
fishing?
Luckily, no.
Yours was closer, possibly. It was known as Lover's Lane.
Yeah.
It was a sex wood.
Oh. Okay. Oh, yeah, that's actually quite close. Yeah. I didn't remember what you said, skinny dipping.
Yeah. Thank you. Do you like that I went with frog spawning? I'm like, that is the closest thing to Lover's Lane for me.
Do you know? Yeah. The creek. About how many people fuck on neighbours? Like, they're all having affairs. I think I was the closest. So, sorry, guys.
Okay.
I still maintain that per capita, neighbours is the most amount of hot people I've ever seen.
But
just the density of hot people to population is great. It's greatest in neighbours.
I think that's just Australia. Hi, guys. Thanks for listening.
Oh, you fucking knobheads.
Sorry, you were nicer.
No, you're quite right too.
Now, guys.
Sorry.
One of the victims was Margaret Chandler, who was 28 years old. She was a housewife. And like all good housewives at the time, she's really only described through her husband's accomplishments. So Margaret was the wife of a successful scientific photographer called Jeffrey Chandler. Good job for you there, Margaret. So your next question is, was the other body found Margaret's husband?
I think I know what I want to answer.
Okay.
But do you want me to...
Yeah, go on. I'm liking yours.
Do you want me to go right.
Snappy.
No, there is no order that we need to follow. I love how quick you're in there.
Yeah.
I think it might be another man.
Okay. Because then we've got a motive, haven't we? And we've got our first potential perp.
Is it definitely a man?
Maybe she... Her lesbian lover.
Okay.
No, that's just my wishful thinking.
I'm just trying to spice up this story.
Yeah, can we just...
I haven't specified.
Can we guess what we want? Rather than...
Choose your own adventure.
I want them to be gay and both alive. Okay. That's my request.
That seems reasonable.
I'm gonna go husband to be different.
Okay.
I don't think it is, because I think that whoever it is makes it a more interesting story, probably.
Okay. Well, it was not her husband. Okay. How dare you make assumptions about heterosexual marriages in the 1960s. Yeah. It was not her husband. It was Gilbert Bogle.
Ooh.
38 years old. He was a renowned physicist and Margaret's lover. So Margaret had a type. Nerds. Samesies. Now, some details about the scene, because these details have kept people speculating for decades. Firstly, no signs of violence to either person. So the exact cause of death could not be immediately determined. Poisoning was suspected. The results of the autopsy also showed that the couple had not yet had sex that evening. Next question. There was a limit to what substances they could even test the bodies for. Why was that?
Because it's hot there.
Katie's not a scientist. It's going to be the right answer, though. It's going to be the right answer. I'm going to look like a twat.
No, it's not.
Okay, good.
I don't know why that made me laugh. It's just hot there.
It's so hot, everyone was too tired and lethargic to do the tests.
I mean, because
they really wanted to, but they just couldn't get up.
It evaporated.
No, I think it's, were they found in the water? Had the water done something to the bodies?
Yeah, that's better. Okay.
And I guess it's how soon they were found as well, isn't it? Because there's only a level of tests you can do if someone's... decomposed, which is kind of the same thing.
Yes. You are the closest, Hannah, but it's not quite right. The bodies were discovered that same day on New Year's Day, but because it was a holiday, they didn't get around to it. So it almost is. It was too hot for anyone to do anything. It was New Year's. It was a holiday. So it wasn't until 3 days later. And at that point, certain chemicals can't be detected in the body, even with the tech that they had back then. Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's, like, it's a little irresponsible, isn't it?
Yeah, just I feel a little.
Doesn't like somebody work on the holiday when it comes to murder?
Yes. Exactly. It's like a maternity ward being closed on the weekends. Yeah. You know, you just cross your legs.
No Christmas babies. No Christmas babies.
Welcome to Tory Britain.
Unfortunately.
So the bodies were found about 12 meters apart, and they were in an unusual state of undress. What would be unusual from a forensics point of view about how someone was undressed?
Wait, they were or they weren't undressed?
They were.
Like Winnie the Pooh, t-shirt on, little shorts on.
Although, to be fair, whenever I've boned in the woods, that's exactly what I do. Just say, hi, Mom. I like to throw something out for my mother each time. Hi.
What, like a... Okay, can you ask the question again, please?
Sure. Yeah, they were in an unusual state of undress. So the question is, what would be unusual about how someone was dressed? That's not a bad shout.
I think the weird thing that they were wearing was those shoes that go around your toes. That's what I think they were wearing. And everyone was like, oh, no, I'm not doing tests on them.
A crime in and of itself.
Yeah, a fashion crime.
Oh my gosh, I can't
look. A crime of fashion?
I can't even look.
What, the glove shoes?
No one said that before. Yeah, that feels like I've not seen that before. A crime
no one's
crime
ever said fashion? A crime of fashion.
No.
Everyone talks about the fashion police, but no one's ever going, a crime of fashion.
You're right.
I think I have heard that.
Can you ruin this?
Damn it.
I should not have torpedoed that smell. I have known you for maybe less than 20 minutes and I'm turning, shut up. Crime of fashion is my thing.
You know what?
It's like David Brent when he's like, that was one of mine. Like, yeah. Same shit, different day. That's one of mine.
Sorry, but no, you have heard.
Do you know what?
It's
great for the podcast.
It's on brand.
It is. It's so much.
I mean, it's great for the podcast.
You can yell at me and tell me to shut up. It's great.
Oh, love it. Okay. It's clippable.
A bit of content. Do you like an end of year like mega mix of every time someone like, screamed at you?
We will do, and it will just be your episode. We'll just get straight from the torpedo straight into shut up, you stupid bitch. And they didn't say that, but we can make it sound like we did.
I mean, I will have by the end of the show. Don't worry about that.
Please give us
the episode is young.
So what was weird about how they were dressed?
Think it's about like, you know, when you go to a Halloween party and someone's wearing a suit on the front and then it's stockings and suspenders on the back.
Okay.
And they turn around.
Oh, do
I? I think it's that, yeah.
It's that.
Nice. Love that answer. Very good.
I think they were dressed like...
The frogspawn.
they were dressed in fancy dress.
Ooh. Interesting.
Lab coat.
Interesting.
Lab coat.
Well, I shall tell you.
Petri dish.
They were both partially undressed because they had been starting to have sex. But what was unusual is that the bodies had both been covered as though for modesty, suggesting that somebody had come across the scene and covered them up.
Ooh.
Yes. So Bogle... It's not funny. It's just a name. It reminds me of Fogle from Superbad. But anyway, that's just me. So Bogle was naked from the waist down, but he was covered with a piece of carpet and with his suit trousers...
Carpet?
Yeah.
Yeah. And suit trousers laid neatly across him. And Chandler, no, let's call her Margaret. That's just friends. The woman. I don't have to be so formal. I'm not really a detective, so I don't have to use their surnames. I'm going to call her Margaret.
Margaret.
She was also half naked, but covered with pieces of cardboard. Again, although it was for modesty's sake. I think these things were found just sort of sitting around. I don't think it was a terribly clean area. I think people dumped stuff.
Okay.
So carpet.
At the moment, it's this the husband, right?
That's what I'm.
Well,
There's no other.
Well, this is where we're headed. Is who are the suspects here? Your next question is: where had Gilbert and Margaret been earlier that evening?
Ooh. At a New Year's Eve party where they were dressed in fancy dress.
Okay,
it's all coming together.
And they were dressed as carpets and cardboard boxes.
Yes, it was a come as a box party. Mm.
New Year's Eve party.
I've been to some New Year's Eve parties with some squares before, but anyway. Oh. No, I tried. It was something to try.
Any
that was lovely, actually.
Thank you.
I waited the 7 seconds till I got it, it was really nice, actually. Yeah, lovely that.
That's ideal, actually.
Has that one been done before?
So maybe the
it's great when someone makes me snort.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's the sign of something that really, really makes
that's lovely.
That I really think is funny.
It's pathetic.
It's embarrassing.
I've turned. I'm one after it and I've turned.
Also, I should point out this is the first time we've heard Taylor snort. So. We've been doing this for 4 years.
4 years. Everything's been bullshit.
No, genuinely.
I've heard you snort.
I do snort. I'm a snorter.
Leaning into that now.
Do you know what? I'm just going to give it to Katie because it was a New Year's Eve party.
Yeah,
it was a New Year's Eve party. Specifically, it was a New Year's Eve party where both of their spouses had attended.
Oh, dear.
If you're wondering...
Two suspects, then.
Lovely.
And if you're wondering why I haven't said anything about Gilbert's wife, the man's wife, but I already have, because she was the wife of a successful physicist. That's all you need to know. Now, it's estimated that the couple arrived at Lover's Lane at around 3 or 4 a.m. following the party. Next question, were there any witnesses who saw Gilbert and Margaret at Lover's Lane?
Yeah, they're fucking wives and husbands.
Okay. You've got them solid as suspects.
Yeah.
Spouses. Okay.
Yeah, it's weird to ask if there's any witnesses, because presumably there's always one witness to a murder, which is your murderer. But I guess maybe...
So you're saying my question is stupid.
Saying you're
fair.
A dumb bitch.
Fair. Absolutely fair.
But I guess maybe it's a popular sort of haunt on New Year's Eve. Big night. For sort of...
This is what I'm thinking.
For, yeah. Randy couples.
Big night for Pervy Brian.
Yes.
Yeah, hangs out at Lover's Lane in the bushes
with his camera. Yeah, little...
you are spot on.
Ooh, okay.
There's always a pervert.
A man made a report to police using a false name initially, saying that he was at the location, had seen Gilbert and Margaret.
Was the name Pervy Brian?
And his name.
Hello,
was Pervy
this
Brian.
Is Pervy Brian.
Wait, no.
That's
no.
A pseudonym.
Sorry, I meant Honourable Brian.
My name's
Honorable.
Actually Nancy Tim.
I don't want to come across the wrong way.
Drunk women solving crime.
You've seen Barbie. You've seen Oppenheimer, maybe. But have you seen Detective Mom Friend? She's a mom who bakes low-sugar cakes. She's a friend who compliments your new haircuts. And best of all, she's a detective who solves murders. Detective Mom Friend, starring Rebecca Heister as Barb, aka Detective Mom Friend. She's got advice. She's got your after-school clubs memorized, and she's got a hot lead in cinemas everywhere. Thanks for supporting us on Patreon. If you'd like to become a patron, check out patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The question was, why was he at the location? But you've already nailed it. He was a voyeur. But he admitted that to police, said, I only saw them passing by. And after questioning him, they were completely satisfied that he wasn't a suspect. Mm-hmm. So Pervy Brian, not a suspect.
Is it illegal to voyeur like that?
Yes. Apparently.
Katie knows she's been done for it.
But like, do you think it was back then? Because I genuinely don't know.
They're also committing a crime by having public sex, right?
Yeah, that is also a crime.
Ooh, but it's only public if a perv is watching you.
Yeah. If a couple has sex in a woods and no one's there, is it still a crime?
I love the idea of having public sex and just yelling like, you're the ones making this illegal right now. You're the weirdos.
You're in Waitrose, madam.
Look away if you don't watch. Like it.
Yeah. But I need feta.
You're still watching though.
So, who was the suspect in the case?
The partners, obviously.
Yeah. Right? Yes. I'm keeping Pervy Brian on the list.
Oh, okay. You're not convinced.
He's not off my list.
That's fine, Katie.
Also, were they having multiple affairs? Are there other lovers that might feel cross?
Uh-huh.
Interesting.
That's a bold move, going to the New Year's Eve party of the person you're having an affair with, knowing their wife is going to be there, your husband's going to be there.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, it feels a little bit like maybe... I don't know, maybe something had come to a head at midnight. They were like, we're going to tell them at midnight. I feel like they might have found out.
If you're like intoxicated, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
If had you're intoxicated, that might spur it.
Had they been doing Strawpedos? That's going to change
the original Strawpedo.
My question is about more the sort of structure of how this podcast works. Could it be that at some point, just something that hasn't been mentioned before comes in? Because I'm wondering whether there's some kind of scientific rivalry.
Yes!
Like someone's made a discovery.
There are always things that are going to come up in the structure.
I love that. And I was wondering too, like, I was going to say, is there a... I can have a tiny bit more. I shouldn't have eaten my strawberry.
You don't have to keep it in.
There'll be some flavour.
For the listeners, we're doing a Pretty Woman thing and we have strawberries in our bubbles. Yeah. We're very fancy.
And we're all prostitutes. Yeah. Sorry, we say sex workers now. But when you say...
Yeah, no, I'm also... Money. So, Mike, to your point about other stuff coming in that we don't know yet, what if somebody else is really annoyed about something else and they want to frame the husbands and get them out of the way for
that's
work, really promotions?
It's a good framing
strategy. There could be all manner of enemies or motives.
Yes. Yeah.
I should tell you at this stage, the main suspect at this point was Margaret's husband, Jeffrey.
Yeah.
So you guys jumped on that right away. He had motive. He could have easily known where they were. He was a scientist, so maybe he knew a lot about poison or chemicals.
But you did say that he was a scientific photographer, which makes me think it's like being a chef in the army. Do you know what I mean?
It's not. Burn.
But it's not quite the same thing, is it? It's kind of like, I'm here to take the pictures. Or if I misunderstood what a scientific...
What, just like, take the picture of other scientists?
That's what
like, that was a good discovery, Jeff.
I'll look good in the journal.
Well, is he taking photos of, like, microbes and
stuff? Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
I think he had sent...
I don't know. He's just like a wedding photographer to me. Yeah. He's just
okay, get together.
And now a fun one.
Yeah.
Put a face next to the microbe slide.
Okay, fire up the Bunsen burners. It'll be funny. Oh, my goodness. Great. So, Sydney at this time, in this neighborhood in particular, was quite a conservative and very traditionalist place. So, just to say, this case was a shit show in the media, because these are two well-respected married people meeting up in a seedy lover's lane and winding up dead and in this compromising position. So people went crazy. And everybody at the time was against the husband. They're like, the husband did it clearly, because who wouldn't?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the assumption I'm making. I would jump on that bandwagon. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Statistically
however,
as well.
Go on. However, police ruled him out as a suspect.
alibi.
Why? Alibi, alibi,
but
alibi.
Do we
Katie?
Believe the wallaby? Do we
That's what it's called in Australia.
It's a wallaby. That's brilliant. If I could snort, I would have snorted at that.
Why can you not physically snort?
I'm not a snorter, no. I think you're
that's
born...
not what I ask, Chloe. Yeah,
you're either born a snorter or not.
It is genetic. I had a wonderful aunt who used to snort, and I've just carried on the torch. It's such a lovely thing, isn't it?
There she is. God bless her. Can I just note at this point as well, listeners of the Trusty Hogs podcast will be probably listening to this, and there's going to be some kind of cross contamination because they do a lot of snorting on there. And every time I do any sort of vague snort content in public, it does get picked up on. So, hello to all the Trusty Hogs listeners.
Okay. Hey.
Shout out for snorting.
Yeah.
Why do you think they ruled him out? Any advance on wallaby?
His wallaby was a wallaby. I think well, it's got to be wallaby, surely.
Yeah.
Surely.
But yeah.
Yeah, but what is the wallaby? In the sense that it's night, it's he might have left the party early, maybe, because he's like, I think my wife's having an affair, I guess I'll just go home and go to bed.
Oh my god.
Go
his
on.
Alibi is that he's fucking the other one.
Oh.
Ding, ding, ding.
Whoa!
Oh
my god.
Well, not the other one, but he is with his own lover.
Okay.
So you're super close.
That means there wasn't an affair. That just cancels it out.
They're just swingers now.
Yeah.
Well, hang in there, because Jeffrey was with his own lover at the time. And not only that, but Jeffrey and Margaret had agreed to have an open relationship. Which was hugely scandalous at the time. But they
so
thought,
progressive.
They're like, this is a great time to admit that, isn't it? I'm going to talk about it now.
Yeah.
Jeffrey and Gilbert were colleagues. They did work together. They knew each other. And Jeffrey had apparently said to Margaret, look, if you want to have a fling with Gilbert, if that would make you happy, go for it. So Jeffrey even went on to write a book proclaiming his innocence called So You Think I Did It.
No! He didn't.
He really
that.
Did. He really called it that. It sounds like an improv show.
So you think I did it?
Yes,
or a game show. I know. Yes,
Because writing a whole book about that is such a big thing already. But then to give it that title.
But like everyone... Everyone of like a higher profile crime does it, like OJ.
That's true.
McCann's, like,
yes.
Like, I guess if a book deal's put in front of you,
and people do no. Those books sell. That's true. It's sensational.
I don't think it's sold very well. Oh. I tried to find it. Like, it's not in print, and it was
brilliant pictures
get,
in
like...
it. Oh, the pictures are incredible. <It's great.
laughs> Now there were loads of other theories getting thrown around about who else could have murdered them, if it was even a murder at all. One of these theories had to do with what was going on politically at the time and with Gilbert's work. Any ideas what sort of conspiracy theories might have been thrown out?
Like Russia or something.
Okay.
Also, sorry, I know I'm answering
like
twice.
Russia or something.
Like Russia.
She's absolutely right, too. That's what's hilarious. Like Russia or something.
It's actually like Russia or something also.
It's pronounced Washa.
I'm super smart. But my other thing that I want to say is, we talked about the carpet and all that rubbish. Yeah. What if they died from toxins and pollution in the river? And it was just accidental poison death.
My goodness, you've thrown out a lot of wisdom, Katie, and I shall tell you why.
They haven't had a chance to answer.
It doesn't matter.
I know the answer. Russia was
where? It's like it Russia doesn't matter. It
was like Russia.
It was like Russia. It was like Russia. Some people had a theory that Gilbert was working for the Soviets as a spy and a scientist, and that they'd killed him with poison to prevent him from disclosing, but... there wasn't much evidence to show why at a party, why kill the woman, why bother?
Because he's a good spy. There's not going to be any evidence.
There were also theories about toxins, weed killer, and possibly LSD, because they blamed everything on LSD in the 60s.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But Katie, one theory that was given particular consideration was hydrogen sulfide poisoning. Huh. So you remember that they were not just in the woods, but they were on the banks of a river. Well, that river was filthy. It was polluted with all sorts of industrial waste. It sounds disgusting. There were hordes of fish dying around the time, and the locals complained about a rotten egg smell coming from the river. What a great place to fuck. Like, why? Why is this lover slain? Let's go to rotten
How repressive does your society have to be where that's where you go to fuck?
I know.
Also, it sounds a little bit like the coasts of Britain right now as well, with all the sewage and stuff. I'm like, we're not far off it. And I love fucking on the beach.
Hello,
it's
everyone's mums.
But this still didn't explain why the bodies had been covered, and it couldn't be proven. It was just all speculation. So there's just, this is one of those cases where
we're never going to find out.
You're never going to find out. There's never been proof until
no
twist in 2016.
Wow. Oh my God.
An author and documentary maker called Peter Butz.
Oh, come on.
Pause for commentary. Peter Go ahead. He can take it. Peter Butz.
Yeah, he chose not to change that name.
He Peter chose Butz. Not to change that name. Peter Butz did a deep dive into this case to try to find some answers.
He had to do something to distract away from that name.
So Peter Butz, did he crack the case?
Hey! Oh, very good.
Snort.
Very good.
Snort. Pause for snort.
Pause for snort! I'm on apps!
Right, let's get another smell of ice.
God, I'm brilliant!
I'm sorry, I don't get that one. What does
pause
that sound like?
Instead of, pause for,
it's because my accent fucks it up, isn't it? I'm like, snort doesn't sound like thought in my world. Snort, thought. Snort thought. But great. Good stuff. Thank Keep it up. Thank you. This is crazy. A retired psychologist came forward anonymously to tell Peter something that one of his former patients, who is now deceased, had disclosed to him back in the 1960s, shortly after this had happened.
Is that how patient-doctor confidentiality works?
No.
Once they're dead, it's fine.
It's not. No. And that's why they came anonymously, but they had obviously been holding onto this themselves, and really questionable that they didn't. Anyway, you'll see.
Okay.
What do you think the patient had disclosed?
A murder confession.
Oh, okay. That they had done it?
Oh, no, sorry.
This was a psychologist?
Yeah, sorry, I thought...
What do you think the patient disclosed to the psychologist?
That they'd done a murder.
Oh, okay, that it was the patient themselves. Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. Oh, that they know about it.
Yes, mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe that they'd witnessed it, they'd seen it. But there's a lot of reasons not to say why you're in Lover's Lane that night. And he might have seen it. Because also, I don't think it's the Russians, because I don't feel like the Russians would, like, kill someone and then, like, tuck them in with a fucking carpet. Like, you know, that sort of level
it
of...
It could be code for something.
Yeah.
They were spelling something out.
Yeah, so
carpet code.
I think it's a witness rather than, because I'm pretty sure that, you know, he's obviously been holding on to this. But if somebody says they've murdered someone, that's when you get to breach.
Yeah.
It totally is. Okay.
It totally is. Is
that the same for priests? Just curious.
I don't know.
It depends if you're having sex with the priest or not.
Peter Butz.
Peter Butz.
Sorry, it just got me again.
No, it's fine. Chloe, any thoughts on what this patient disclosed before I reveal?
I think that's a compelling case that someone else did it. And I'm honestly having no thoughts beyond what we've already got, which I don't think it's going to be like some random party. I think it's going to be one of the, like, the wife or the husband or someone else at the science plant.
Cool.
Yeah, because we don't know that the wife of him had an open relationship, right? Like, that sort of makes sense in a way.
Yeah.
Because they might not have been... Yeah.
Did she agree to the lifestyle?
Yeah.
Sure.
So I'm thinking it might be my stab in the dark that it was her. Because we disregarded her because she is merely the wife of a scientist.
Uh-huh.
But she could be a murderer.
Just the wife of a scientist.
She could be a person. We'll never know.
the wife also had an alibi. So she was written off, not as a suspect. And it isn't her, but it was a woman.
See. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Another lover.
She had been at Lover's Lane the night of the incident and had seen Gilbert and Margaret. She was there with her girlfriend.
Ooh. Oh, I knew there'd be lesbians involved. I said this right from the beginning. There always are. When it comes to true crime, it's always lesbians. Watching on.
Chloe. Wise Chloe. So... they'd fooled around. They went to leave. They realized they left their purse behind. Classic. So they had to go back into the woods, and
do
that's...
they share a purse?
Yes, yes, they're lesbians.
Okay, sorry.
Urge to merge. We'll have one purse, thank you. We'll have one wardrobe, one purse.
When they went back, they froze and saw Gilbert and Margaret starting to have sex. They started kissing, undressing. They were afraid to move because they knew that the sound of the leaves was going to let them. So they just stood there and watched for a while. They were close enough that the woman heard Margaret say, "Why are you stopping? Keep going. Let's." And they kept going. And then suddenly, Margaret began to gag. She put her hand to her throat.
Whoa.
And started to back away from Gilbert. And that's when they ran out of the woods.
That's when the lesbians ran.
That's when the lesbians ran.
Wow.
But what's interesting about this is from what... Oh, and the, sorry, really important. The other thing is that they said that that sulfur smell was especially strong that
Ooh.
Night. And that Gilbert and Margaret were especially close to the river.
Oh.
So this whole story lends a lot of credence to the idea that they were poisoned from the river, because she just suddenly started gagging. There was no violence. There was no
way.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And they've since examined some of the forensic evidence. She had, like, marks on her skin that could happen because of this particular kind of poisoning. They're not bruises, but it comes up when something to do with the oxygen in the blood and all of that.
My
so
God. Wow.
The only reason that she didn't come forward, this is not going to shock anybody, was because she was gay, and it was illegal at the time, and they were both in Catholic families, so they were terrified.
Imagine seeing that, seeing it in the news and being like, I know what happened.
I know.
And then also, presumably, there would have been a death penalty if they had found that guy guilty, the husband.
Maybe they would have come forward.
Yeah. Yeah.
He'll be fine. I would imagine she did sort of watch.
Very convincing.
She's probably really relieved that no one was arrested.
Yeah, thank God. Because half the time we do these cases and it's like, oh yeah, they hung that guy, and then 20 years later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she felt so horrible and guilt ridden that that's why she started seeing a psychologist.
Wow.
Yeah.
She probably needed it anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sounds like a lot. Yeah.
Catholic upbringing, get yourself off your pot.
This still doesn't explain the modesty coverings, though, does it?
Oh!
Because Gilbert and Margaret did not. So what people think happened was there was another guy that I have not talked about yet. Somebody else who saw the bodies that morning, who was cleared as a suspect. It was a greyhound trainer who was near the scene the next day with his dogs. Initially, he didn't go to the police, but the police noticed his car parked near the site and found him. And he said, "Yes, I was there, but the reason I was just so afraid I would be a suspect." This guy was pathologically prudish. So he couldn't stand the sight of these naked bodies, but he was too scared to go to the police and say, like, "I've just found these bodies." Like, how weird is that?
I really think it was him.
So you think it was him?
Yeah. I think he got a jar, put some sulfur in it, shoved it in their faces. I don't know. I just think that's weird behaviour. But I guess it was
weird behaviour. It is really weird behaviour.
To, like, first not come forward and to cover them.
I'm not going to come forward, but I'm going to tamper with the bodies, which is essentially what he's done.
But to be fair, if it's not anyone close to them that has some kind of motive, then if it was, like, a serial killer like him, because it would just be completely random, then you would have expected, like, more sort of, like, ceremonial stuff.
And and if we can believe the confession of this patient, there was no one else present. There was no, you know, so unless somebody had administered poison before they even went into the woods, the things just kind of don't add up.
Because then the killer is the company dropping the toxic waste in the river.
Yeah.
The killer is capitalism, and it always is. That is what I will say. It always is. Drunk women solving
crime. Okay, now finally, we will solve a case from one of our listeners. This comes from Katina from Patreon. Early on in the pandemic, I had my car broken into! Exclamation. It was parked right in front of my apartment, and I went to the grocery store not noticing anything amiss. When I turned the car on, there was an indicator light on the dashboard that one of the doors was ajar. I looked to the passenger side, and my eyes fell upon a pile of items that had been removed from the middle console. Charging cords, a GPS from 2014, and a tire pressure gauge. It appeared nothing had been taken, but I saw that the cup holder only had 2 pennies when there had been a quarter, which I had used for the cart. And then she wrote, trolley for the Brits. Thank you. At Aldi, I always forget Aldi is in the States.
Yeah, that's weird.
I know.
Yeah,
yeah. The question, like, yeah, I've got questions for you, Katina.
It's like when Catherine Tate went into the office. You were like, no. That's not right. Not in that universe.
100%. 100%.
Yeah.
The question remains, drunk women, who stole my Aldi quarter and what was the reason? How did they break into a locked car that auto locks after 5 minutes and has previously locked me out before? I'm looking for any insight that will help me solve this injustice.
You've answered your own question. They broke in before it locked after 5 minutes.
And they just needed a quarter.
Yeah. 5 seconds. 5 seconds.
You said minutes. To be fair.
Oh, she wrote minutes. Oh, yeah. Come on. Come on, Katina. 5 minutes is
You're
ages.
Being thick, Katina. Sorry, Katina. Look, thank you for supporting us on Patreon. I'm not a criminal, but I'd go into a car after 5 minutes just to see if I could. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Steal a quarter and be like, that'll teach you.
Yeah, and I've heard other stories about the cars because I've heard of a car that locks after 1 minute and somebody just got in it. Like, somebody was sitting in the passenger seat while somebody jumped out to quickly do something. It hadn't been locked. And then somebody just jumped in and sat next to them and they were really freaked out. And then the person left.
But you don't rely on it to lock itself, right? Like, if you...
No. That's if you've forgotten, I guess.
It's just if you've forgotten.
It's got to be.
Yeah. So unless she forgot...
So everything was rifled through. Sorry. Everything was rifled
through. And they took those 3 items. I think...
It was a quarter.
It was a quarter.
A GPS?
Let's see if I can remember because I'm not looking at it. 2014 GPS, a tire pressure gauge, and... What was the first thing? I can't remember. Oh my gosh, it's like that game on Succession.
I don't know. I was thinking of that
memory
thing where
game.
You have like a tray of stuff in a children's party.
Charging cords. Charging cords.
What's that? Right. But then someone puts a tea towel over the top and you have to list the things that are on the tray.
Yeah. That's like a rainy day game.
It was my 7th birthday, actually, Katie. It was very special. I thought that was... You just do that on rainy days, do you? All right. I was told it was for the birthday girl.
Real.
Absolutely fine. Absolutely fine. I should just go call my mum. Can you give me a second?
We've got a really special day planned, Hannah.
Then, yes, we did go to Aldi.
We're going
to.
One person's... Rainy days.
We're going to clean the grout. It's so satisfying. I think anyone that's desperate enough to break into a car and steal stuff, you're going to take whatever money you see, right?
Yeah.
Whether
I think somebody watched Katrina. Was
Katina.
It Katina? I do apologize.
Yes, because that's the rudest thing you've said to her so far. Sorry we messed up your name, you dumbass.
Her name was Katrina, but they also took the R.
Again, thank you for your support on Patreon.
I think somebody watched her get out. They waited until she was out of sight. They quickly went in, saw what they could get, had a rifle, grabbed the money and
You could imagine, like, if it's the sort of person that is like maybe struggling, has a drug addiction or something.
Just
like
opportunist.
That, you could get a little bit of stuff for a 2014 GPS. And to us it might not seem like a big thing that you could get a lot of money for. But to that person it could probably get them what they need to get through the night.
Yeah.
I suppose if it's dark as well, you don't know what money you're reaching for. You just reach for anything.
Mm.
Also, you can still get 25 pieces of candy at the penny store. I don't know where that came from. I'm in the middle of heat stroke. We have just enough time to ask our fantastic guest. You've been a fantastic detective. Yeah, thank you.
I think I'm going to Strawpedo Smirnoff Ice for everything.
Honestly, you really should.
We all should.
You guys are super funny. I've had a great time. Thank you so much for coming.
Yeah, it's been so much fun. Please tell us about you. Where can we find you? What have you got going on? Where can we find you?
So I am going to be doing the Edinburgh Fringe this year.
Nice.
My show called If You Can't Say Anything Nice. And
get somebody else to say something fucking horrible.
Yeah. Well, it is. I think this is why I am worried that I'm slipping. I'm basically trying to embrace my anger a bit more.
Okay.
And understand that it's not like a bad thing.
No.
But it has unleashed the sort of the part of my brain that I'd previously suppressed.
Ooh.
See earlier when I shouted at you. What the fuck? Yeah. So it's coming out in quite a lot of ways. So yeah, it's a show about anger. Ooh. And how anger is like a cool thing to explore.
Yes,
yes.
Agreed.
Love that.
But in a measured way.
Where and when is it on,
yes,
please?
So it's on at Pleasance Above.
Okay.
At 6:40.
Nice.
The day of the Fringe, apart
nice.
From maybe like one Monday. And I'm really excited to do it.
Yeah. Awesome.
I think it's going to be really fun.
It sounds great.
I think it's a funny show and... Yeah, I'm just really enjoying doing the work in progresses and stuff. So yeah, and you can find all the tickets at chloepetz.org. And if you're listening to this in the future, then all of my stuff will be updated there as well. So just keep posting, and Instagram, Twitter at chloepetz.
Yay. Oh my gosh, thank you. I'm fascinated by that topic too.
Yeah, that's great.
It's been coming up as a topic a lot with my daughter, who's turning 10.
Interesting.
Because I've always pushed this idea of don't believe that you're supposed to be happy all the time. And she's a super emotional kid. So I've just always tried to teach her, like, all of the feelings you're having are okay. Like, they're all equal in value and no one's happy all the time.
They're telling you something.
There's just a real societal thing about, like, be positive and everything is going to be positive. And it's, no, some stuff is shit. And anger is a natural emotion. We have it for a reason. So I want to see your show.
Yeah, try not to think of emotions in terms of, like, a hierarchy.
Yes.
It's been important for me. But also, well, I guess you'll come see this, and I haven't quite worked it out, so I hope it's not a spoiler, but like the denouement of the show is that, like, it's okay to be angry, but also, like, expressing anger is a privilege that not everyone has.
That is so true. So true as well.
Amazing.
Who's allowed to be angry in society?
I think it is white ladies.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Wow.
Let's go. Let's take to the streets.
And it's Brett Kavanaugh.
Yeah, that's the end of the show now.
All right, thank you very much. Once again for coming here.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman with music by The Lion and the Wolf. You can follow us on Twitter at Drunk Women Pod and on Facebook and Instagram at Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. Also, if you've got a petty crime you want us to solve, then please write it in that review and we'll solve it. Thank you so much to Acast for hosting us, and thank you for listening.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.